It is Holy Wednesday on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Are you texting or taking a picture?
I was making sure our Instagram posted because it posts automatically now.
What's on Instagram today?
Today, let's see. It's Psalm 70, verse 1. Uh-huh. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste
to help me, O Lord. I have to sing it.
It's a really pretty picture, too. Yeah, I know. Every time I go through Psalms, especially when we get to ones in the liturgy, I just like... Then it's stuck in my head all day, which is not a bad thing, I guess.
I had the privilege of teaching a class this past Sunday on the topic of Palm Sunday, and every time we came to a text, I can't read the text without singing it in
it's
my head.
True. Yeah.
I don't know, especially...
Is that hashtag Lutheran problems, I think?
We got to, what was it, some text that was in Handel's Messiah.
Oh, sure.
And then I'm just gone for an hour two.
That's what my husband does, too. You can just, like, his head starts bobbing. I'm like, oh, you have the Messiah stuck in your head, don't you?
I do. Can't stop it. We have some good topics today.
We do.
Digging into a really great article in Lutheran Witness.
It is very
March issue, I believe. It's March issue, right?
Yes, that is the March issue.
March 2018
that is the month
issue.
We're in.
What month is it? It's Holy Week.
Sure.
I don't know what day it is. It's Holy Week. I know that it's that. I can't remember what month it is. Holy Wednesday and tomorrow, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday. Great topics as well. We get to check in with Dr. Jack Fiennes on Friday.
We do.
Talking about emotions.
Yeah, we're Lutheran. Look out.
I know. Emotions. It's... emotions, and particularly the difference between shame and guilt and what that means on Good Friday. So interesting conversation. We had a chance to record that with Dr. Fiennes so that we can share that with you on Good Friday. Today, we are taking a look at piety versus pietism in the Lutheran Witness. Let's, before we do that, I want to say thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin. For supporting the Coffee Hour and supporting Sarah's habit.
Yeah, got me mid-slurp there.
It really doesn't support Sarah's habit.
No,
Sarah buys her own coffee.
I do.
But what coffee do you have this morning?
Peru. It's a new one.
Wow.
It's really good. It's nice, mild, medium roast.
Well, thanks Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find them at cuw.edu or in the underwriter section at kfuo.org. And now we're going to head to another Concordia University Irvine. Dr. Russell Dawn, Associate Professor of History and Political Thought at Concordia University Irvine, also author of Piety versus Pietism in the Lutheran Witness this month. Dr. Dawn, welcome to the Coffee Hour.
Thank you very much.
It's nice and early there. Is it sunny and shiny there at Concordia Irvine?
Sun's just peeking out, but it will be a sunny day, about 75. I'm sorry to report to the St. Louis drizzle.
I'm terribly sorry.
Yeah, that sounds really lovely right now.
History and political thought. And you also are director of the pre-law program there at Concordia University Irvine as well. What does history and political thought entail?
Well, history is fairly self-explanatory.
that was a deep question, wasn't it?
But political thought is basically the history of ideas that deal with matters of how we should be governed. So we cover everything from the pre-Socratics up to modern ideas.
I want to talk about that on another
day.
Program. Yeah. So, did this background in history and political things, did that kind of spur interest in pietism, or is this from?
It's actually the other way around.
Oh.
I did my doctoral work in the history of the church. And that spurred an interest in the history of politics.
When you said the other way around, I thought you were going to say you were a pietist that led you to consider political thought and history. But it didn't go that way. Never mind.
No. Sorry, Andy. Not your version of the story.
Sorry.
So the train back on the tracks here. So this interest in pietism, I think we learn, maybe we learn if we do a little bit of church history, we learn about a little bit of pietism. But what exactly, what is Pietism. We'll get to piety in a minute, but what is Pietism exactly?
Okay, Pietism is a theology that has roots in a German movement in the 17th century. Basically, after the 30 Years' War, Germany was in a shambles, and physically, but also spiritually, in a shambles. It was a lot of people's faith had been really shaken by that, by 30 years of war, and also by the growth of science and some of the successes of science. People's faith was not in a good place in late 17th century Germany. So some folks tried to revive the faith, to revitalize it, but they didn't really, in some cases, use proper understanding of scripture in as their motivator and as their guide in this. And so what Pietists did, and the movement goes back to a man by the name of Philip Jakob Spener, and his idea was that, well, people should meet in small groups outside of divine service, which was kind of a revolutionary thought at the time, at least in Germany, and in order to hold one another accountable and build one another up in faith. But as they were doing this, he really put the focus on the individual experience of faith, the individual experience of renewal, rather than on the objective truth of the cross and the objective word that transforms us. So this emphasis on subjective experience became really the focus of a lot of these Christians in their lives and in their own Christian walks. So the movement, the Pietistic movement, grew from there and took on ideas that would be very familiar to us today, not because it's biblical, but because it's popular in American Christianity. So this is where the idea of making a decision for Christ arose, that basically a guy by the name of August Hermann Franke, he lived nearby, and Spener, and in a nearby city, I should say. Anyway, he put the emphasis on, well, you have to have this crisis of faith that leads to a decision to change your life and to focus more on Christ. And when that happens, that's when you can say you're a Christian. And it's this conversion experience that defines the beginning of one's Christian life, rather than the objective event of the baptism into Christ. And so on and on, Pietism goes with more iterations, more versions of focusing on experience and the experience of renewal, rather than focusing on the cross of Christ.
How do you think this movement of Pietism impacted what was to come later in American Christianity? I mean, as you were describing it, I see a lot of that in American Christianity today.
Yes, it's amazing the effect it has had. Part of that is direct, and part of that is indirect. The direct portion of it is that a young John Wesley was influenced by Pietists. He was in a situation when he was journeying, I can't remember whether it was to or from America, and he encountered some Pietists and was amazed by their faith. And so he was influenced by that. And of course, his influence was profound in both English and American Christianity. And so there's that direct influence. And then there's simply the indirect influence that, this notion, this subjective experience as the center of one's Christian walk is just enticing to a lot of people, because it puts us at the center rather than putting Christ at the center. And it has grown through that indirect influence, just people liking that theology and choosing, if you will, to put the emphasis on themselves. And so we see it all over Christianity. I can remember being asked, I'm not a cradle Lutheran, I'm a convert to Lutheranism. And I can remember being asked in an earlier stage of life, young adult time, when did I become a Christian? and, you know, tell me about that experience. And I hadn't been exposed to that theology before that, and it was strange to me, and I'm thankful that it was strange to me, because, like I say, I wasn't even Lutheran at that point. I wasn't even armed very well against that. Mm-hmm.
So we have pietism, and we want to get to piety before we have to go. But quickly, what is piety, and how is it not the same thing as pietism? We have about 2 minutes.
Okay, sorry to have been so wordy there.
Well, no, that's really interesting.
Piety can be thought of in two ways. One is internal piety, and this is just the righteousness of faith. This is the gift of God for wicked sinners. And of course, all Christians are pious in this sense. It's not something we've striven for. It's just simply been God's gift to us, and it transforms us. Like I said, it's the righteousness of faith. And you can call that inward piety. And then one can think of outward piety, which is the piety we live out. And you can think of that as good works. And of course, good works don't save us. Good works don't make us good. They are simply the good outflow of the faith, of the inward piety. You could say it's the good fruit of the tree that has been made good. And so it is in this sense that Christians ought to be pious. We ought to be living according to good works. And then whenever we fail, of course, return to the cross on our knees.
I really appreciate the way that you explained this history in the article in the Lutheran Witness. I encourage our listeners to check out the article. If you haven't gotten a copy of the Lutheran Witness, get the Lutheran Witness.
And we'll link to it too. This is one that's on the
online
website.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Check it out. Read this article. It's a nice explanation of this, the history of pietism and the difference between pietism, piety, as you've explained, Dr. Dawn, and all jokes about pies and baking aside. I think it really is helpful in understanding where our American evangelical friends are coming from, mm-hmm. too, so that,
yes.
that we can speak intelligibly when it comes to the origin of these beliefs, particularly when it comes to topics where it's clear that one believes it's about something subjective rather than objective. Dr. Dawn, thanks so much for being our guest this morning on the Coffee Hour. Great article. Blessings on your work there at Concordia University Irvine.
Thank you very much.
We have more Coffee Hour coming up in just a little bit. Marriage and Family Conference.
Yeah.
Right here in the Midwest.
It is. Close to home for us.
It is. Not too far.
Yeah.
Just a couple hours away.
You're
listening to the Coffee Hour on Holy Wednesday here on KFUO.